I don't know how Todd does that. I think there needs to be like orange tape for me. So I want to share with you from Ephesians chapter 1. So if you brought an electronic device or even something called a Bible, it's got written words, it's got ink, you can turn to that. I've had to get rid of my old Bible I wrote, Zondervan, because as I've turned 29, the ink on my Bible started to get blurry. Can I get an amen for that? I don't know why. But anyway, so Ephesians chapter 1. And the title of the sermon is How to Know God More Better. How to Know God More Better. Now, I don't know about your children, but when my children were growing up, they had a number of sayings that were just adorable, right? All kids have great sayings, and they say stuff. Early in my son's life, he knew a triumvirate of Timothys. There were so many Timothys in his life, we couldn't even sort them out. And so one day I said, well, John, who do you know, which Timothy do you know the best? And he said, I know Timothy B. More Better. So this is a sermon about getting to know God more better. Our goal today is through the scriptures to help us all know God more better. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul has a great prayer here. Paul says to the Ephesians, I keep asking, and this is the next slide, please. There we go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him more better. All right, I don't know if that's quite in the translation, Pastor Todd, but it's in there. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Let's go to the next slide, please, Donna. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And he prays that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart, not the eyes of your brain, not the eyes of your head, but the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy people, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. All right, so let's go back. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a Christian counselor here in town, and I find that when I'm counseling people, their head or their minds and their hearts are usually in argument. Because when they come into me, they tend to be a little confused about some topics, and when I ask them what do they think, they always think this, and I ask them this question, and I ask you this question. Where is that place in you that you know truth or error? How do you know when Pastor Todd speaks or when I'm speaking that God is speaking through us versus us spewing some Reader's Digest gobbledygook? How do you know that? Where is it in you that you know truth or error? And when I ask that question, and I want you to kind of ask yourself this question, when I ask that question to most people, they usually point somewhere around their heart. Not always. How about for you? Where is it for you? Is it near there? So when someone speaks to you and says, Jesus Christ is Lord, that part of your body goes, yes and amen. Or when someone says the Cleveland Indians are worth anything versus the Detroit Tigers, you know that is error right there. Amen? So there's a head and a heart argument. And for most people, if you can begin to tune in to this place, which I would consider the Holy of Holies within you, where the Spirit of God is, where you know truth and error, if you begin to focus on that, your life will be changed. Let me give you an illustration. A young man came to see me, and he said, I've been to other counselors, and I'm wondering if you could help me. And I said, well, what's your issue? He said, I have a demon. And he said, I don't want you to hospitalize me because I'm not crazy. Do you know anything about demons? I said, well, I know a thing or two. And he said, can you help me? I said, no, I can't, but there's someone in this room that can. And his name is Jesus. And he said, I don't believe in Jesus. And I said, well, let's focus in the place in yourself that you know truth and error. And I want you to ask, and I was praying this very passage, may the eyes of his heart be enlightened. May the spirit of revelation and wisdom just impart to this young man in that moment. He goes, well, I don't believe that Jesus blank. And I said, why don't you ask this part in your heart, this part in your place in your soul that knows the difference between truth and error, because he has a demon. And he kind of went like this, what he did. And I go, what did that place say? And he said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but it says Jesus Christ is Lord. I said, I don't think you're crazy. I think that's Jesus Christ. And I said, he can help you, and he can deliver you, and he can free you. And he goes, no other counselor's ever talked to me this way. And I said, all I'm doing is plagiarizing the word of God and Jesus Christ. And I said, Jesus Christ wants to free you right now. And he said, I see angels around this Jesus guy. Is that normal? I said, sure is. You see, everyone has the capacity to know God. There's a place in us, between you and I, that can understand the riches and the hope of his glorious inheritance. Not only that, but the power to get us there. I want to say one more thing before I move off this slide. If you hear nothing else today other than you have a knower, I call this place the knower because in John it says, my sheep know my voice, right? So I call it the knower. It's not a biblical term, but that's what I call it. Psychology says, and they're coming to understand this, I love this, that hope is the number one key for psychological help. If only there were an ancient manuscript that had been written that could have said that hope is very important for the psychology of men and women. If only there was an ancient manuscript, Pastor Todd, what do you think? So I say to you that many of you have a sprained hoper. But today, Holy Spirit wants to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, not just to know God better, but to fix, to heal that hoper so you can hope again. Amen? All right, so we're going to keep going to the next slide, please. Now, this is only an experiment. Okay, don't turn it yet. Oops, there it is. If you do not want to be part of this experiment, don't look up here. Get on your iPhone, tap dance, whatever you need to do. But for those of you that want to take part in the experiment, will you raise your hand? Anybody? Okay. All right, go ahead and put this up. I do not want you to focus on the pink elephant with large sunglasses and the blue bikini with yellow polka dots. Amen? Do not focus on the giant pink elephant, okay? No one is focusing on this pink elephant with the bikini on. Is that correct? No one, do not focus on this element. How many of you were successful at not focusing on the elephant with the bikini on? Anybody? You were? That's very good. That's really good. Ah, okay. Well, that was very good. She gets a gold star today. Do you have stars and stickers, Esther? Okay, all right. Most of the other of us, when I say don't focus on this, you focus on it, right? Here's the truth. The mind focuses on the positive. The heart focuses on the positive. The heart is continually asking questions. It is continually seeking. It is continually finding. And is continuously knocking. Your heart never sleeps. It never slumbers. It's almost like it was created by a creator and you and I are created in his image. Amen? So you can't say, okay, I'm not going to go this way, because immediately when you say I'm not going to go this way, you go that way. If you've ever ridden a mountain bike, the one thing you look at when you go through a thing is where you want to go. When you look at where you want to go, the bike almost automatically steers that if you've done any mountain biking. And I say the same thing in the kingdom of God. You want to know God. You want to know the Holy Spirit. You want to know Jesus. And this word to know means to learn, to understand, to find out, to realize, to learn the truth, to walk in revelation knowledge, to verify, to desire to be one with, to fix, to focus. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, seek, knock. Okay? So your heart is always intentional. It's always going forward. It's always going into a direction. Amen? Here's an illustration. How many of you have a car radio? Yeah, everybody has a car radio? Last time I checked, you got to choose which station you listen to, unless, of course, you had children, in which case there was a battle over which station you listen to. Amen? I don't know how many stations there are. Now we have iPods and lectures and tapes and CDs and 8-tracks, if you're really, really cool. You still have the 8-track system. Right? How many of you remember 8-tracks? Ask your parents. Amen. All right, so you get to choose what radio station you listen to, amen? What tape, what CD? There's not CDs anymore either, are there? In the same way, you get to move your heart by your will to in any direction you wish. You get to knock on any door that you wish, And God says, I want you to knock on my door. I want to reveal some very specific parts or aspects or personality about myself to you, and I'm going to do it in the circumstances in which you find yourself today. Amen? So it's always seeking. It's always finding. We're going to skip slide 5, or we're going to go on to slide 6, because the scripture says in Jeremiah 24, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all of their heart. Amen? So the only way to know God more better is to know him personally. Amen? All right, I'd like to give you a couple illustrations from my practice. And I'm changing just about every detail except the important details to protect the innocent. I'd like to talk to you about Joanna. That's not her name. Don't worry, it's not even close to her name. She came in my office, and she was a non-Christian. And she had some very terrible problems. I won't tell you what they are. Some of you would start crying. And she was crying, and she said, do you know anybody, or can you help me? And I said, no, I can't. And I'll explain why in the next story, why I say that. And she said, who can? And I said, his name is Jesus. Right? And she said, I'm going to bleep, don't worry. She said, I don't believe in that Jesus. Bleep! Really, I said. I said, why not? She goes, that bleep, bleep, Jesus let me down on bleep, bleep. All right? Is this recorded? Okay, good. For those of you out in internet land, don't worry, your computers are fine. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He doesn't always do this, but in this moment he did, and he said, I want you to do nothing, and I want you to listen to me and repeat exactly what I ask you to do, and so I did. So I said to her, I said, Joanna, I'm going to sit in this holy counseling chair, and the only thing I'm going to do is sip water. I'm going to do nothing else. I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to look at you. I might get on my cell phone. I don't know. But I'm going to do absolutely nothing. And I'm going to say go. And for 30 seconds, we're just going to sit here. And if God doesn't show up and show you that he's real and show you that he's powerful and show you that he loves you, then we'll go on from there. But if he does, then you'll accept Jesus. Is that a deal? And she goes, beep. Okay. Ready? Set. Go. 2-3 seconds later, maybe 4 seconds, she's sitting on the couch. She goes, woo! 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 And she's jumping out of her chair. The power of God hit her so strongly that she couldn't sit in the chair, and her eyes are this big, and she goes, after 30 seconds, I said, had enough? And she said, what was that? I said, that wasn't a what, that's a who. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he loves you. He's the Spirit of Jesus, and now it's your turn to accept him in your heart and in my office. That's what she did. You see, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And notice all the great counseling effort I did. I sat in the holy counseling chair and sipped the holy counseling water and did absolutely nothing. And Jesus did everything because Jesus loves her and wants to reveal himself to her personally. Can I get an amen there? I want to give you one more story why I say to everyone when you ask me or they ask me, can you help me? Here's why I say, no, I can't, but Jesus can. I was in my internship. We'll call this lady Beth. Again, that's not her name. And the head of the practice was, this is another practice. It was in my counseling internship. The head of the practice didn't know Jesus, and she hated Jesus, and she hated Christians. She was seeing a lady that was severely depressed and had seen her for several years and to no avail. And so exasperated, she comes to me and says, all right, Christian boy, you take him. Or take her, sorry. Okay. She's in the office. I walk in, and immediately when I walk in, her eyes go like this. And I smiled, and immediately she went like this, and then she completely relaxed. And me in my pride, I'm like, how you doing? I thought, well, I don't know. I must look a lot, amen, a lot like Brad Pitt. Can you see it? Immediately, she was completely relaxed. She wasn't depressed. We talked a little bit. I'm like, what's the big deal? I said, come back next week, we'll finish it up. So I came back the following week, and I asked her, I said, what's your depression? You know, it was 10, or at least, my ex-boss said it was a 10, and she said, it's a 0, I was healed. Oh, when were you healed? When you walked in. Now listen to this. I said, when I walked in, what happened? She goes, I couldn't see your face. Oh, whose face could you see? Jesus. Now, again, this is not, she doesn't hallucinate. She's not, you know, schizophrenic. And I went, oh, okay. And she said, I knew you smiled, but it was really Jesus smiling. And when you smiled, there was this huge bright light that came out of your mouth or out of Jesus' mouth, and I was healed instantly of depression. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is why I say I can't help you, but Jesus can. He said, don't you ever take credit, Jeff, for what I do. For it's in her knowing me that is her deliverance. It's in her knowing me is her healing. Amen? Amen? Here's the backstory to that. I told you the boss hated Christians and hated Christ. So she said, I better go back and tell her. I said, tell her everything that happened, right? Tell her Jesus healed you. And so she went back and told her. And so my boss comes, and I won't get in your face. I'll get in Pastor Todd's face, okay? She comes, and she bursts into my office, and she goes, all right, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. And she said, I heard Jesus healed her. And she starts yelling a little bit, and then all of a sudden she started crying. She said, you know, I hate Christians, and you know, I hate Christ. And she pointed and she goes, you know the real Christ, don't you? And I said, yes. And for 45 minutes, I got to witness to her. But you have to understand, it has nothing to do with me. Don't you understand that all of you have the same Holy Spirit? All of you have the same power. It's that working power that Paul is praying for the Ephesians. It's the same thing. You have no idea the impact you have on people. Let's go to the next slide, slide 8. Again, Paul says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of revelation and wisdom in the knowledge of him. Let's go to slide 9. So God wants you to know him personally in the different facets or the different aspects of his character. Let me illustrate this and then we'll get to the menorah here. If I looked around and I asked you, you know, what's your best quality, what's your worst quality, we're pretty complex people, right? We have this facet of our personalities and characters, that facet, and to get to know us, there's a lot to us, right? If you really want to get to know someone, you have to get to know this part of them, that part of them, right? Amen? Where do you think we get that? From our Creator. One of the highest needs we have and one of the best things you can do for your spouse or a friend is to listen and understand them for who they are from their perspective. Guess who else enjoys that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? So in we're just talking now about the Holy Spirit. This is a menorah, and I'm going to show you a picture of the actual menorah that's going to go back in the new temple that's about to be built in Jerusalem, but I don't want to go into that. And here are the seven spirits that... seven aspects of the Holy Spirit that are built into the menorah. The Spirit of the Lord. This is from Isaiah 11, also Revelation. The Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So today, as you face a circumstance, there might be a facet or an aspect of the character of the Holy Spirit that he wants to manifest in your life. I'm going to be leaving my current location because the owners are retiring fairly shortly. And so I need a spirit of wisdom into where to take my practice next, where to go, when to go, who to take with me. Does that make sense? I need to know Holy Spirit in that specific aspect of his character. Elsewise, I'm undone. Let's go to the next slide. ADD moment. I'm not ADD, as Pastor Todd and Donna will attest. That's a lie. Anyways. This is the actual menorah. It stands in Jerusalem right now. Will you guys be going to Jerusalem? You may actually see this. It's in the holy city overlooking the Temple Mount. Weighs half a ton. It contains 45 kilograms of 24 karat gold. This is the actual menorah that will go in the actual temple when the actual temple is rebuilt. By the way, ADD moment, if you don't think we live in biblical times, everything that is needed for temple worship to be reestablished is now done. The ashes of the red heifer, the high priest has been anointed, the menorah is done, every utensil is done. It's happening, men and women, it's happening at a theater near you and I. So let's keep going. So I pray that the God, this is slide 11, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Just in this passage, let's go to the next slide, please. Notice, there are 9 different aspects of God in just this passage that he wants to reveal to us. God the Father, if you see in this passage, it's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is also described as Father of glory. He's also described as Him. God the Son is described as Lord, is described as Jesus, is described as the Christ. The Holy Spirit, is his aspects of him are the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. So let's go to the next passage, please. I need someone under the age of 12. I need three people to help me. Anybody that would like to help pass these cards? All right, you, ma'am. What I need you to do is take these cards, please, and pass them out over on that section. Do I have two more volunteers? Come on down. Thank you very much. I need you, please, to pass this to the middle section. And you, sir, over there, would you pass these cards out over there, please? Thank you very much. You know, you have to get good help sometimes. Can I get an amen for the good help? And it's some. This is called a book for you young people. It's made out of paper, and it's got writing in it. Can I get an amen for those of us that are 29 and older? Amen? All right. This particular book is all the divine names and titles in the Bible. So this is a resource you can get. This is called the Bible. This is a larger print Bible because, as I explained earlier, the print in my other Bibles has become defective and a little blurry. But this print is good. So you can get names and character of the Bible of God in that, in this book. And let's put that website up. This is a great website. Oops, there we go. And if you want to write this down, this would be great. ChristianAnswers.net /names of God. In this website, there are 950. Does everybody have an index card? Index card? Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. On this website, there are 955 names and titles of the character of God. Okay? I just named one big long name in Greek, in this case, Chief Cornerstone, and it gives the passages there. There are 954 others. Okay? So what I want to end the sermon with is a couple things. One, I want you to understand, let's go to the next slide, please, Donna. Your present circumstances don't determine where you can go. They merely determine where you start. So what I'm trying to say is, as Paul is praying for you, and Paul is praying for me, and Paul is praying for the Ephesians, he's saying that God wants to reveal himself to you in your current circumstances right now. And so he wants us to begin to start by looking at your own life circumstances. We're going to do this in a moment, but let me give you two illustrations. Some things happened in the last few years in my life that I won't go into today that were devastating. And if you know me, I know this is going to come of a shock to Pastor Todd, but I'm an optimist. Can we have a group hug for the optimists afterwards? Amen? All the pessimists go over there and go, oh man, those guys are too loud. Amen? I'm an optimist. And so as an optimist, what is bad about optimists is we don't like pain. We don't understand suffering. It makes no sense to us. Let's have a party. Amen? The reason I came in early today is I got a piggyback ride from Pastor Todd, because Pastor Todd gives piggyback rides to everybody but me. And now I got one, and I feel really good about that. But as an optimist, when pain comes into my life, I push it away. Amen? A couple things occurred in my life that were devastating to me. And I went to the Lord and I said, this makes no sense. This is not happy. This is not optimistic. This is not good. I do not like it. No, I do not. I sounded like Dr. Seuss. And he said to me, as clear as I'm speaking to you, unless you know me as your suffering servant in Isaiah, you do not know me at all. Whoa. This is me. He's talking to me. He's revealing to me that he needed me to understand him as my suffering servant. Now, that's not good preaching on Sunday. No one wants to hear that. Amen? Second story. And again, this is mostly my family. My son, John, when he was small, had 106 fever. We rushed him to the hospital. We thought he was going to die. And they're taking him out of my arms, and they're taking him down to put the needle in his spine to see if he has spinal meningitis. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what's up with this? I have served you faithfully. I love you very much. And now you're going to do this to my son? And he said to me again, as clear as day, and this has made me cry, he goes, I've always been faithful to you, my son. Now, I don't know if you've ever been rebuked by the Lord, but it was just a short rebuke. You see, I had to know him as my faithful one, even at the cost of my son. I don't like pain. I'm not preaching suffering today. I'm not preaching lament, but I am saying in those circumstances, God wanted and allowed those circumstances so I would know him in a particular aspect of his character so that I would grow in him and know him more intimately. Amen? You see, and I believe in divine healing. Pastor Todd and I have seen hundreds and hundreds of people healed, but it's not about healing. It's about knowing the healer. It's not about deliverance. It's about knowing the one who delivers you. It's not about salvation. It's about knowing the Savior. Can I get an amen? So that's what he wants from us. And he wants you to begin to identify. Let's go to the next slide. And this is for the written learners. Some of you are written learners. I'd love for you on the piece of paper, if you want to, if you're not a written learner, don't write it down, to identify a circumstance that is you're facing right now. There's pens right in front of you, I think. There should be. Identify a need or a circumstance that you have. Write it down. And what I'd like you to do is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you an aspect of himself, of the Son, or the Father. So you're going to say, Holy Spirit, please, I need to know you. I'm not asking for a solution. I'm not asking for this or that. I'm asking to know you more better. And keep focused on that aspect of God in both your heart and with all your soul. Keep fixed on him until you get a revelation of that aspect of his name or character. See, he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know him more better. He wants you to know him in your knower. Tune your knower into him and begin to ask and seek and knock. Again, not for a solution, not for a fix, but for a person. Because his name is Jesus and he's worthy. His name is Holy Spirit and he's worthy. His name is Heavenly Father and he's worthy. Find an aspect or facet of his personality and character that he wants to reveal, and using the Bible, the website, the book of names of God, and understand he wants to reveal himself to you personally in a very deep and intimate way. So what I'd like to do to conclude sermon, so write that down on there, and then I want you to take that home, that index card, and I want you to begin to explore the Bible, explore the divine names of God, explore the website, and ask the Lord to reveal to you a part, an aspect, a facet of his personality. Amen? You're going to take it home? And to conclude the service, I'd like to offer a prayer. There's nothing better than plagiarizing. Can I get an amen for that? One time I was speaking to a client, and I literally just quoted a scripture, and she said, it was like the book of Acts. She goes, that's the wisest thing I have ever heard. And she started giving me credit. I'm like, time out. No. And I explained to her that was from the Bible. Because God really likes it when men take credit. Don't they? For those of us that have pride, amen. It doesn't work very well. So I'm going to plagiarize God by praying the prayer of Paul over us all. Amen? All right, so let's pray. Father, we keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give each one here the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation so that we might know him better. We pray, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know that hope that you have for us, the hope to which you have called us, the hope and the glorious riches of his inheritance in the holy people, and his incomparably great power for all of us here that believe. Father, I pray a blessing on each. May they begin to focus and know their knower more than they know their human mind, more than they know their emotions, more than they know anything else. May the Spirit of God and the knower of God rise up. May they focus on that so they would know the truth and the error, so they would know you personally, so they would not be distracted and go to the left or the right. Father, I pray a blessing. May this be a people of the knower, a people enlightened in our hearts, that we would walk in the very presence of God. We would walk hand in hand with God and know that we have a personal, specific, circumstantial, in the means of every circumstance, we'll give you thanks and praise because we know you in that circumstance and we know you in every facet of our lives. We praise you, God, that you are a revealing God, a God who enjoys for us to get to know you in deeper and more profound and wider ways. We love you so much, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you all very much for allowing me to speak today, and thank you, Pastor Todd, for the opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's get excited, yeah. Good word. Let's stand up and close in praise and worship this morning.